today is found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22. It's about the great marriage feast. We find Christ here speaking in parables unto the multitude. And he spake unto them, a certain king made a marriage for his son. We have then in this Christ speaking to the multitude. According to the commentary, this happened 3 days before he was slain. 3 days before they took him with wicked hands and crucified him. And when he got very near to the end of his earthly life, then we find him speaking very seriously, and his parables were very deep. And we find in this that he's speaking unto the multitude about a certain king that made a marriage for his son. He said the kingdom of heaven is like a king that made a marriage for his son. Speaking about the kingdom of heaven, by the kingdom of heaven we are to understand the gospel dispensation, the proclamation thereof, with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. This kingdom of heaven was immediately proclaimed by John the Baptist. He proclaimed that it was immediately coming. We find Christ and his disciples likewise proclaiming that the kingdom of heaven was at hand. And now this kingdom of heaven was not completed until Christ entered into glory. And when he entered into glory, he then became king over his church, visible and invisible. Now this kingdom is not a worldly kingdom. It has not this world for its end. This kingdom was erected by the God of heaven. Therefore it is called the kingdom of heaven. The subjects of this kingdom are not people that are worldly, but they are spiritually born. Born again, having given to hear the voice of Christ and have followed him. This kingdom then is not of an earthly origin, but is of a heavenly origin. And all those that may be given to enter into this kingdom will most certainly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And now the Lord compares this kingdom of heaven by a certain king that made a marriage feast for his son. By the king, we are to understand God the Father. He sent forth his servants to gather a great multitude of people, an elect body of people, to come to his son, to be married to his son. So this sending servants out to proclaim that they should come unto the wedding. He sent them out and bid them to come, who were bidden and who were invited to come. But they refused to come. The first people that were invited to come to this wedding feast, to this marriage, were the Jewish people. God took these people and separated them people from all the nations of this earth. They were a peculiar people in this respect. They were a single people. And God, he sent his messengers to these people. And they proclaimed that the Messiah was to come and that his kingdom was to be erected. And now this message was sent to the Jewish people. And these Jewish people, they were privileged by God himself to have many prophets who proclaimed the coming of Christ. He also taught the people to turn away from their sins and to seek an interest in this coming Messiah. He likewise gave unto them many wise kings who ruled and governed them according to his word and according to his testimony. And God dealt very wonderfully with these people. But these people, they refused to hear the message that was sent to them. They did not receive it. Well, what was the reason that they didn't receive it? Unbelief. Unbelief is the greatest sin in this world. It rejects the message that God sends unto us. It rejects the messengers that he sends. It rejects likewise God himself and the Lord Jesus Christ. Unbelief is an awful sin, my hearers. Every one of us are in a state of unbelief by nature. And if unbelief prevails over us, and then if we die in that state, we will be lost forever. And now it was unbelief that caused these Jewish people to reject the messengers and the message. And now where they would not come, we find this great God in heaven above, so filled with love, so filled with pity and compassion toward these people, the Jewish people, that he sent other messengers. All he wanted these people to come to the marriage of his son. And when these messengers went forth, that we find that they likewise preached the gospel and proclaimed to the people to come unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only did God send his messengers, his apostles, but he likewise sent even his own dear son Jesus, who likewise labored amongst them, who performed many miracles and did many things of which they even had to say that he taught the truth as it was, and that it was true what he spake, that he did not regard any man, paid no attention to any particular person, but he preached the truth as it was. And still, with all that he did to them, they rejected him. These people then, the Jewish people, were the first ones that were invited to this marriage feast. And we find that when these messengers went out, they made light of the message. They would not pay any attention to it. The one went to his farm, the other went to his merchandise. And now here is this making light of the message and of the messengers is still the sin prevalent to this day, even in the church and even in this world. Now how many people make light of the message that God sends unto us? Every one of you probably have been born and brought up under the truth with an exception of a few of you. You have been hearing the word of God from infancy. You have heard proclaimed that Jesus Christ is the Savior of sinners. And now there are many that are so busy with the world and so busy with their business and they're so occupied with the things of time and sense that they don't take any notice, they don't give heed to the message that God sends them. The one went to his farm, the other went to his merchandise. They didn't care about the message. They were more concerned about this world, more concerned about how they were going to get through this world. They're busy gathering riches, busy with their business, night and day. They're busy with these worldly things. And are my hearers not only people that pay a total disregard to the message, but likewise even church people? How many of you to whom I am speaking make light of this message? How long have you heard it? And how have you heard it? Has it ever taken any effect upon you? How has it left you? My hearers, are you concerned about your business? Are you concerned about this world? Are you concerned about things of time and sense? Are you not making light then of the message? Do you not despise the message? Do you not despise the messenger? And these people, the Jewish people, they likewise were guilty in this respect. For they had been taught from infancy too the word of God. They were a separate people in this respect, but they paid no heed to it. And how many of my hearers are born and brought up in the church, and likewise they take it very lightly. Some say, oh, it's not going to be so bad as we hear it. It's not going to be so bad as this word teaches us. God is a God of mercy. And I'm not a poor creature that does not live the way I should. I try to do what I can. I live righteously. I'm a member of the church. And I have a hope in the general mercy of God. And so a person keeps living this way, thinking that when he dies, he'll sure go to heaven, making light of the message. And now my hearers, how many even of God's dear children make light of the message? They have received it. They have received it in the power thereof. And how often do they receive it just with their ears, just with their mind? It does not come into the heart. And when they receive it this way, they likewise are making light of the message. It takes no effect upon them. But they have this, that they are not satisfied with receiving it this way. How many make light of the message, my hearers? Are these Jewish people, they took these messengers and they treated them very spitefully. And some of them they slew. We find that God sent his apostles and he sent his dear son into this world with this message. Are these apostles, they were ambassadors of peace. But they had no peace while they were here upon earth. They brought a message of peace. But as they began to minister, then we find they were treated very spitefully and very cruelly. Some of them were put in prison. One was put on an island all alone. Some of them were taken and they were crucified. They were slain. One was crucified even upside down. They took the Lord of life and glory and crucified him. And they treated these messengers very spitefully and they slew them. So this is what took place with the apostles. This is the reward that they received for their work. The people, in unbelief, would not accept this wonderful message. Why, you would think that everybody would accept it. Just think, the God of heaven comes to you with a message of love, a message of grace, a message of peace. And you would think that everyone would be eager to accept it. And now most of the multitude reject it. And that because of unbelief. And now my hearers, when this took place with the apostles, and when God seen what was done with his messengers, he became angry. And he sent his army against their city, and he destroyed those murderers, and he burned up their city. Now this has reference to after Jesus had ascended up into glory. God had sent these apostles with this message, and these Jewish people, they had rejected it. And all my hearers, when the wrath of God is revealed from heaven, even if it just kindled a little, oh, what an awful thing takes place. God sent this Roman army against these Jewish people. Oh, they entered into the city. They demolished their temple. They destroyed their worship. They burned their city to the ground. And millions of these poor Jewish people were slain in the city of Jerusalem by the Romans. Josephus gives us an account that the blood ran down the streets of Jerusalem. So many Jews were murdered and slain by the Roman army. Josephus gives an account of one of these creatures of whom Christ spake when he was upon earth. He spake that false Christ would arise. And there was one at this time that spake unto the Jewish people and said unto them that God had revealed unto him that they all should go up in the top of the temple into a certain room up there. And then God would reveal the way that he would give deliverance unto these people from the Roman army. And thousands of people believed this man. They all went up into the top of this temple, 6,000 in number, Josephus says. And they took this man's word for it. And lo and behold, the Romans came and set fire to the temple. And these 6,000 people, they all perished in the flames, trying to escape from them, instead of having deliverance. All see, my hearers, the wrath of God revealed in these people, the Jewish people. Temple gone, worship gone, city gone, and they themselves scattered all over the world. Oh, the wrath of God followed these people even up into our modern times. You remember that they said that his blood come upon us and upon our children. Think of Hitler, how many millions of Jews he slew, how many of them were killed in this particular time when he was reigning. The wrath of God still following those Jewish people for their rejection of the message, for their rejection of Christ. Only up until now, just recently, they had their own country. They never had a country to dwell in. They were scattered all over the universe. All my hearers, think of what God did to these people who rejected his message and rejected his messenger. And think what shall come upon you if you go out in rejecting the message and rejecting his messengers. And we find, my hearers, that this God in heaven above, he commanded that other servants should go out, and that they should go out into the highways, and that they should speak unto everyone that they came to, and invite them to the marriage feast. He had his battlings ready, and he had his oxen ready, and everything was ready. And my hearers, we find that these servants went out, and they gathered together good and bad. And now we find that the apostles, they had labored abundantly, and God had blessed their labors. We find on the day of Pentecost that God wonderfully blessed the truth. 3,000 souls were brought into the church. So this going out and gathering in far and wide, whoever they met, we have here the visible church being erected upon earth. And we have good and bad being gathered in. But think of how many of that were gathered in just at the beginning when the church was established. And these apostles, they had blessings upon their labors. Every day God added daily to the church those that must be saved. And we find a Philip, he gathered in an Ethiopian. And we find Peter, he gathered in a Cornelius. And we find Paul and Silas down in the city of Philippi. He gathered in a Lydia and a jailer. And they established churches throughout all Asia. And many people that were called to the marriage feast of God's dear Son. And many were added to the church. Many, good and bad. And now, my hearers, it's still the same way today. What has chaff to do with the wheat? By chaff we are to understand error in doctrine and likewise irreligious persons. The wheat, they are the children of God. The seed that God hath chosen from all eternity. And as it is in our time, so it was in the times of the apostles, when God manifested his power and his glory in his church, and many were gathered in. Think of Ananias and Sapphira. Two people, a man and a wife. So they likewise came forward with a profession of religion. So they likewise did as other people did. They sold their goods, but they kept part of it back. They didn't come honestly to the apostle with everything that they had received for their property, but they kept part of it back. And my Hebrews, we find that God witnessed against these people. They were hypocrites. And down came the wrath of God upon Ananias and Sapphira. Both of them dropped dead in the front of all the people. Oh, a token that we have to do with a God that knows us, my hearers. So many of us have no realization that we have to do with the God of justice, that he knows our hearts, that he knows what's going on therein. And these two people, they were made examples before the church at that time. And all what fear came upon all the people. Don't you think there would be a lot of fear amongst us if God discovered some hypocrite in our midst and let him drop dead in the front of us for some reason that we all knew? Oh, how awful it was for these people, Ananias and Sapphira. They were immediately cast away by God himself. And we find another man by the name of Simon, the sorcerer. He likewise came forward. He was baptized. And truly they all thought that there was something going on in this man, because he had bewitched so many people with his sorcery, and now he was altogether different. Now he became a member of the church. And what happened? There he comes unto Peter, and he says unto Peter, "How much could I give you that I may be able to have this gift of laying the hands upon people, that they may receive the gift of the Holy Ghost?" Because he seen by the laying on of the hands of the apostles that these people were immediately wrought upon by the Spirit of God, and he wanted the same power. He was then detected as a hypocrite. Peter spake unto him and said that he was in the gall of bitterness and in a bond of iniquity, and that he and his money should perish. And there were then good and bad that were gathered in, my hearers, and it is so yet to this day. They gathered in good and bad. And now we find that at this wedding feast was assembled with guests. And now the king came in to view the guests. Now this has reference, my hearers, to the day of judgment. We all are assembled here. I can't look into your heart, you can't look into mine. You may have more faith for me than I have for many of you, but that doesn't make us any better. We all are in the sight of this God, and we all have to appear before him. And there's a day coming when the heart shall be revealed and the secrets thereof. A day of judgment is coming, my heavens. Solemn day, believe me. How near we are to this day, I do not know. But we are getting nearer to it every day. And all when this day comes, and every one of us will be assembled before the throne of Christ, that there will be no escaping his eye. For his eye is a flame of fire. And he will look right through us, and he will know us, every one of us. Have you ever placed yourself there, my hearers? Oh, what a solemn time that's going to be. When the king comes in to view his guest. Oh, have you ever thought, how shall it go with me in that great day? How shall I be able to stand in that great day? What will become of me? You'll be there just as well as I will. Oh, think of it, my heroes. The king came in to view his guest. And he found there what? He found a man there that had no wedding garment on. When kings of eastern countries arranged to have their sons married, and then they invited people from all over the world at that particular time. Now when these people came and visited this place where this marriage was to take place, they likewise had to be clothed by the king that had invited them. He had a special wardrobe made, and he had special garments made for the people that were invited. Now when they came, they had to put on this big, long, white robe. Now, this is what they wore when they had a marriage for their son. Nobody would dare enter into the marriage feast without one of these robes on. But here now the king comes in, and he views the guest, and he finds a man without this wedding garment on. He had not went to the governor of the feast to receive one of these robes, but he had went in and sat down. It does not say that he was naked. He had something on. And now, my hearers, this man, he is a type of a hypocrite. When the king came in and seen that this man didn't have this robe on, he immediately spake unto him. And he said unto him, "Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having on a wedding garment?" And by this wedding garment, my hearers, we understand as a work of grace. the gift of faith, of the imputed righteousness of Christ with which each soul is clothed with that shall enter into the marriage feast of the Lamb. We can never believe that a person would enter into the marriage feast of the Lamb without a wedding garment. This, what we have here, is in the visible church here below. And the king came in to see the guests, and he detected here one without a wedding garment on. And he spake unto him. My hearers, this wedding garment is very necessary for you and I. This robe of righteousness, this work of grace, this being born again, this having saving faith, is the work of the Almighty God. And if we have this, my hearers, then he will view us as one of his children. He will view us in love, in mercy. He will view us as one whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But if we have not this wedding garment on, my hearers, then just read what happened to this man. He was found amongst the people, but he was taken, and he was bound hand and foot, and he was cast into the pool that burneth with fire and sulfur. So this is what took place with this man that didn't have the wedding garment on. This was a person, my hearers, that nobody else detected. There may be some of you that have made a profession of religion, that live an honorable life, a good life. Nobody can say anything about your life. And you may have an eloquent tongue. You may be able to talk and may be able to speak much better than somebody even that preaches or teaches. But my hearers, you may be void of the grace of God in your soul. You may be void of a new life. So this was what was the matter with this man. He was detected as a hypocrite. He was detected as not having grace. And this man, he was taken and bound hand and foot. Oh, I am so afraid, my hearers, of my own self in the first place, that when this judge comes in to view the guests, how shall it go with me? Each one of us should be concerned about our own immortal soul. And how shall it go with you? Oh, I am sure there are going to be many in that day. Oh, so many. So that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to say to you, friend, how camest thou in hither? What made you put on a profession of religion? What made you become a preacher, become a teacher? What made you walk among my saints as one who was one of them? Friend, how camest thou in hither? What was your purpose? What was your idea? What did you mean to gain by this? And all then to be detected as a hypocrite, to be detected as one that has no grace, that has no new life. Oh, my hearers, as such a person will be dealt with as the word describes. How many preachers, how many teachers, how many elders, how many deacons, I am afraid, will be found in that great day, void of this garment. Oh, how necessary to search and examine ourselves whether we are in the faith or not. Oh, what an awful thing to make a profession of religion without the truth within us. It were better that we remain what we were than to put on a form of godliness and lack the power thereof. And now, my hearers, we find that the Lord Jesus Christ, who is speaking this parable, he closes it with, "For many are called, but few are chosen. Oh, how Jesus makes a separation. So many people have been called by the gospel throughout the ages that this world has stood. There is an outward call, and that outward call comes to each one of us that sits under the hearing thereof. But the call is, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, come ye buy wine and milk without money and without price. And the Lord sends out his messengers and calls to each and every person. God makes himself free of every soul that liveth here upon earth. And this call has been coming unto you, my hearers. And how have you received the call? Wherever you may be, a chosen vessel of mercy, and then God accompanies the call, it does not just remain an outward call. No. And then the Holy Ghost accompanies the call into the heart of a sinner. And that call takes fast hold of that creature. And that creature begins to become a sinner in the sight of God. Not just with his mind, not just with his lips, but he becomes a sinner inwardly and outwardly. He's a sinner that deserves nothing else but God's wrath and God's anger. He is called out of the world, called out of darkness into God's marvelous light. He never seen himself like that, never had any trouble with himself like that. I wonder how many are listening to me that have experienced this internal call. All it means so much, my hearers. If you've never experienced this, believe me, then you only have received the outward call, and you most certainly will perish thereby. All to be called internally is a sign that we are elected, that we are chosen by God from all eternity, that we are loved with an everlasting love. Oh, what a miracle if such a woman or such a man who has been called in this way. All those that are called internally and chosen, they are given in that great day of account to enter into the marriage feast of the Lamb. Oh, they will enter with joy. They will sit down with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob around that table. And they will sing to the praise and to the glory of Jesus Christ, who bought them with the price of his precious blood. Oh, blessed are all they that are internally called. Have you been called, my hearers? Oh, what a mercy you have. And then signs have followed this calling. You have received, in the first place, a spirit of prayer and of supplication. And you have been brought weeping and supplicating for mercy. You have been given likewise in your deep anxiety, in your terrible guilt and sin, to hear a wonderful voice directing you to the Lord Jesus Christ as the only way whereby you can be saved. Have you ever heard that voice? Have you ever heard the Lord speaking to you, I am the way? Has he ever said unto you, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sins? Or have you ever heard that melodious voice? If you ever did, you're longing again and again to hear it, my hearers. It becomes then the voice of your beloved. You get to know this voice, and you get to love the person that it speaks to your heart. All of you have been called internally, my hearers, and then you have been given to see the beauty, the loveliness, the excellency of this Jesus. He has become the one thing needful for your soul. Oh, you're afraid many times that you're going to die without him. You're afraid that you'll never be clothed with his righteousness. You're afraid that in that great day of account, you're going to be found naked. You're going to be found without that robe of righteousness upon you. Oh, you are made hungry and thirsty after the righteousness of Christ. And you have been brought by the Spirit's teaching to see and to see that you have no righteousness of your own, that all your righteousness are as filthy rags, and you see the beauty, the excellency in this season. That if you had him, you would have everything. How many do I have listening to me that have been made hungry and thirsty in this way? After the righteousness of Christ, you are a blessed soul. Not because I say so, but the Word of God says that. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Ah, there's a day coming, poor naked soul, poor stripped soul, poor lost soul, poor guilty soul, that you will be clothed in the garments of salvation. Ah, then will be fulfilled what we read in Isaiah 60. He has clothed me with the robe of righteousness. Oh, what a merciful Lord we have to do with, my Hebrews. That he will cover all our blackness, all our guilt, all our sin, all our shortcomings, and that we will be spotless in the sight of his heavenly Father in his precious robe. How many long to be found that way? Oh, my Hebrews, I can't put this into your heart, soul. But there are souls that are exercised by the Spirit of God, as I have been describing. And if you have something of this going on in you, be it but as a grain of mustard seed, most certainly God will make it to grow. And what he has begun, he most certainly will finish. Many are called, but few are chosen. I've tried to give you in my feeble way a little description of those that are chosen, who likewise are called, and who most certainly will enter into the joy of their Lord. The Lord bless the lesson this day to each and every one of our souls, for Jesus' sake.